Thank you for joining us for today's podcast. Listen after the podcast for more information about TPC DeQuincy.
Good to be in God's house. If you have your Bibles, would you turn to the book of John chapter 8? And as you're turning to John chapter 8, I want to say it's so good to see Brother Earl Mayo with us in service. So happy to see him. I also want to just let you know that most of the Hope House, they are with Brother Jerry McGee in Sulphur at the Biker Church, because the Biker Church comes and supports many of our functions. So Glenn thought it would be good if he went and supported them, and I said, yes, do that. So they'll all be back tonight. But I'm glad to see Brother Mayo. And then last night, CR had a wonderful meeting, and I was a part of that, and it went so well. And so April, you and Glenn doing a great job. Also, this morning after service, we're going to be baptizing Kinley, and that's Kinley Reeves. And so we're going to be baptizing her in the lovely name of Jesus. So if you want to hang out and be a part of that, love for you to do so. Amen. Well, just turn to your neighbor and tell them you like something about them. Maybe their hairdo or what they're wearing. So you all know by now that I love humor. I enjoy laughing, and laughter is good medicine, and it doesn't have any negative side effects. So here's some humor for you. The Cajun golfers, Thibodeau and Boudreaux, were playing golf at Squirrel Run Golf Club. And Thibodeau stood over his tee shot for what seemed like an eternity. He just stayed there. He looked up and down the fairway. He's measuring the distance. He was checking the speed of the wind, the direction of the wind, and it was driving Boudreaux absolutely crazy. And so Boudreaux, he's just exasperated by now, and he's saying, man, what's taking so long? Just hit the ball already. Just hit it. And Thibodeau answered. He said, my wife, she up there looking and watching me from the clubhouse. And he said, I want to make sure I get a perfect shot. And Boudreaux said, well, forget it, friend. You're never going to hit her from here. I do want y'all to know that Darwin sent me some men blonde jokes. So you're going to be hearing some of them. You don't want to miss it. Well, some of them I can't tell you from Darwin, but some I can. If y'all know Darwin, he's a cut up, and we love Darwin. And I do appreciate Darwin running our golf cart every week in, week out. Appreciate that man. He's my friend, and I love him. Thank all of you for participating in being here in the house of the Lord this morning. We welcome you. Let's look at John chapter 8. We're going to look at verses, beginning at verse 32. Let us go to 31. Then Jesus said to those Jews who believed him, if you abide in my word, you are my disciples indeed. And you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. They answered him, we are Abraham's descendants and have never been in bondage to anyone. How can you say you will be made free? Verse 34, Jesus answered them, most assuredly I say to you, whoever commits sin is a slave of sin. And a slave does not abide in the house forever, but a son abides forever. Therefore, if the Son makes you free, you shall be free indeed. Father, we thank you for every person that is here this morning. My prayer is that through your word, it would add value to their life. They would be encouraged and equipped for this journey. And God, I pray for the next few minutes that you would anoint our mind and our mouth. Bring us all now into, Lord, into the unity of one spirit. We're here in body, but help us to be here in mind and spirit now to receive your word. And that's our prayer in Jesus' name. Everybody say amen. Amen. You can be seated. The Bible is not about religion. The Bible is about a royal family. The Bible is about three things. Are you ready? Say, I'm ready. It's about three things. Number one, it's about a king. Number two, it's about a kingdom. And number three, it's about his children. Since the Bible is about three things, a king, a kingdom, and his children, then where, Pastor, does religion come in? Here's where it comes in. Religion is simply hunger in the human spirit that man seeks to satisfy. We all are looking for two things. We're looking for power, and we're looking for purpose. We want to know that we have purpose with our lives. Why am I here? Why do I exist? That's one thing that we want to know. The other thing we want to know is that we have power over our circumstances. And so religion is a way that man tries to seek out the answer to purpose and to power. Now I want you to look at Genesis 1 and verse 26. This is what the scripture says. Then God said, let us make man in our image according to our likeness. Let them have dominion. And then it starts talking about what man is to have dominion over. Basically over all the earth. Now man is not to have dominion over other men. That is called slavery. But man is to have dominion upon the earth. Over everything upon the earth. So the first thing we see in Genesis 1 and 26, the first thing that God gave man was dominion. The next thing that he gave him basically was land. And then the next thing was a relationship with himself. So religion, brothers and sisters, is not the purpose for man. Dominion is. Can I get an amen? Now, if you look in Genesis 3, and I don't have a particular verse for you to look at, but if you look in Genesis 3, it tells us that Adam and Eve, they sinned. And when they sinned through their disobedience, what happened is what we know, those of you that have been in church any amount of time, we know it as the fall. What did they fall from? They fell from their relationship and fellowship with God. They also fell in their dominion. Their dominion now had been taken, and their fellowship, their relationship had also been taken. So immediately in chapter 3, we see where God speaks. And he starts talking about, even in chapter 3, I'm going to bring to you a deliverer that's going to restore back to mankind what he lost. What did man lose? He lost dominion. He lost fellowship. He lost relationship with God. In chapter 3, God is already saying, I'm going to come back. And I'm going to restore what man lost. Now, religion is man's invention. Religion is man's invention. What is man trying to do? He is trying to restore the kingdom on his own efforts. See, now I want to be clear this morning so that no one walks out of here and misconstrues what I'm going to say. So I want to lay the foundation. First of all, I love God. And I want to love God with all of my heart, soul, mind, and strength. Second of all, I love His Word because I'm going to be judged according to the Word of God. Third of all, I love the church because Jesus died to birth the church. Fourth of all, I am a part of a religious organization and I have license as an ordained minister with a religious organization. With all of that being said, there is still a difference between religion and the kingdom. What is the difference, Pastor? Well, religion prepares man to leave the earth. And when you've been in religion any amount of time, you've sung, "I fly away." Because we're talking about, man, we're going to fly out of here. We're going to get out of here. We're going to go to heaven. And there's nothing wrong with that. Nothing at all wrong with that. But religion is always talking about leaving the earth. The kingdom is talking about how we can be empowered to change and influence and make a difference while we're on the earth. Can I get an amen? God wants you, brothers and sisters, to have dominion while you are up on the earth. Dominion over what, Pastor? Over sin? Over yourself? Do you know the devil is not your worst enemy? You may blame him for a lot, but your worst enemy is yourself. The power of the Holy Spirit gives you power to conquer yourself. It gives you power to conquer sin. It gives you power to lay hands upon your own self and claim healing for your body through what Christ did for you at Calvary. And I know we don't hear much about this, but it's still the truth, whether we want to believe it or not. There are demons in our world and demon spirits. And the power of the Holy Spirit is greater, more powerful than any demon spirit. And so God wants you to have dominion over yourself, over sin, over sickness, and over evil spirits. He does not want anyone in this house to be in bondage to anything. He wants you to be free. For as we sang this morning, he that the Son has set free is not partially free, is not halfway free, but he is free. Somebody shout free. He's free indeed. Does that make sense? Why? Because God doesn't want any of us this morning to be in bondage to sickness, to sin, to evil spirits. He doesn't even want you being in bondage to your own self. He doesn't want you sabotaging what God wants to do in your life. And we will if we don't have the power of the Holy Spirit. Does that make sense? So now I want you to look at Ephesians chapter 3 and verse 8. Here's what he wants us to know. Ephesians 3 and 8. I don't think that's right. Well, guess what? Who's wrong? I am. Sorry, Madeline. I want you to look at Ephesians 2 and 8, please. For by grace you have been saved. Look at your neighbor and tell them this. For by grace you have been saved. Did you get that? And this is not from yourself. It is, talk to me, the gift of God. It is God's gift. Grace is God's gift to you and I. And then it goes on to say, lest any man should boast. Okay, now here's where it's going to get real tight and real quiet. But I'm going to share with you the word. When you and I stand before God, and God is going to ask, why should I let you in? Anything that you say, I did this and I did that, and I gave this amount, and I dressed like this, and I looked like this, and I acted like this, and I was very faithful. And God's going to give you a little golf clap and say, that's good. You should have done that. But that's the wrong answer. The right answer is, God, it's not what I did, but it's what you did for me. Because of what you did for me, I stand here righteous, holy, and justified and blameless in your sight, not based off of what I did, but based off of what you have done for me. Because when you and I get to heaven, there's going to be no boasting about what we did. God don't want you to think it's what you've done. He wants you to know it's what he did for you. Does that make sense? That's very important that you get that. See, there is a difference between religion, because religion looks at it as what I've done to earn it. It's not what you and I have done to earn it. Yes, we should live a life that is pleasing to the Lord in modesty and in holiness. But brothers and sisters, holiness, if you want to go into the scripture and study it, holiness has nothing to do with dress. Holiness has everything to do with you separating yourself from sin so that you can be an instrument and a vessel that God would be willing to use. Why? Because God does not light, does not dwell with darkness. Now, I know we've made dress a holiness issue, but it's not. We've even elevated standards to salvation. Standards, brothers and sisters, is not salvation. Salvation comes through Jesus Christ. It's in Him and Him alone. Should I dress modest? Sure. Modest is not about me covering up from my head to my toe. It's not about me covering myself. Modesty is about dignity, because I am the temple of the Holy Ghost. And I want to present Him in a modest way. Paul tells us in Scripture to be temperate in not some things, but all things. We should be temperate, ladies and gentlemen. There's some things that I do that I'm not going to even tell you. And if I told you, you would think, oh, I can't believe Brother Nealon does that. I do that, but I just don't tell you about it. You know why? Because it's not sin. And as long as I don't do it in excess, I'm being temperate. We don't teach that. But we should teach it, because it's the scripture. There are some things, brothers and sisters, that you can do. It's called personal convictions that you might be convicted of, but I may not. And don't tell me that I'm going to go to hell because I don't have your convictions, because I don't look like you, spit white like you, and talk like you. No, I'm not. That may not be the conviction that God has laid upon my heart. Can I preach here? I'm talking about the difference between religion and the kingdom. There are Bible principles, brothers and sisters. There are Bible principles that every one of us should abide by. Are y'all okay? Here's an easy one. Here's low-hanging fruit. The Bible specifically tells us, do not commit fornication. Do not commit adultery. That's very low-hanging fruit, right? So you can come up and say, well, Pastor, I'm not convicted about that. I think I'll just go hang out. Well, then my response to you is, sweetheart, you don't have to be convicted of that. That's Bible principles. God tells us in His Word that that is against His Word. That's very simple. Then you have the next stage is church principles. There's some things that if you walk on this platform, there's a lifestyle that I want you to live by. There's things, certain things that I want from you. Why? Because God is holding me accountable as the man of God for this church. That doesn't mean that you can't come to this church and not be saved just because I'm holding some up here to maybe a little higher standard. But that's in my spirit. I want a certain presentation on this stage because I believe God holds us to a little higher standard. Now you say, I don't want that. Well, guess what? You can still come to this church and be saved as long as you're not violating Bible principles. Right? You don't even have to agree with me on 100% of the things. You can be wrong if you want, but I mean, you don't even have to agree with me on everything to be saved. But you do have to be in alignment to this word. See, religion, what religion wants to do is make everybody look like you because you think you're right. But y'all know it, just most don't say it. But the Baptists think the Pentecostals are going to hell, and the Pentecostals think the Baptists are going to hell, and the Catholic thinks everybody's going to hell. That's not a Catholic, right? And so what we do as religion, we draw all these lines. If you're not like me, look like me, think like me, you're going to hell. And if you're not in this church, you're going to hell. And if you're not belong to this group, you're going to hell. And brothers and sisters, can I tell you according to the Word of God that the Scripture says they're going to be saved out of every nation, out of every tongue, out of every kindred, and out of every tribe. So that means people are going to be saved that don't fly your flag, that don't wave your banner, that don't see it just like you. If you think about biblical principles, church principles, and then local convictions, what you think about is federal, state, and local laws. Federal law is the highest land. It's the highest law of the land. States and local government can make laws, but they're not to make laws that interfere or contradict the federal laws. The highest standard that we're all held up to is the Word of God. Now, how do I know that man didn't write this? One reason why I know man didn't write this is because man would have never written such a high standard for himself. Brothers and sisters, this is a high standard. Man would have said, hey, look, you can have a wife and have a couple on the side because man thinks he can handle it. He can't handle the one he's got, much less two more. But he thinks he can because he's ignorant. Right? Come on, somebody. I need some real folk up in here this morning. Man would have never written a high standard such as this. I'm not talking about lowering our standards. I'm talking about being in a relationship with Jesus Christ so that it's not about religion tells me I got to do this. I'm doing what I do because I love God. I live the way I live. I act the way I act. I dress the way I dress, not because man is telling me if I don't, I'm going to hell. But I do it because I love Him. Does that make sense? Okay, see, religion, here's the difference. Religion wants to escape. Let me just get out of this world. The kingdom says, no, let me make a difference in the world. As long as I'm here, let me make a difference. Can y'all hang with me for a few more minutes? Okay, see, Jesus, if he would have been religious, he would have never opposed the Pharisees. Never. He would have hung in there with the scribes and the Sadducees. But he didn't do that. You know what he was? When you read your Bible, Jesus was a friend of prostitutes, sinners, tax collectors. He also got accused of drinking wine. You know what? You love Jesus because you never met him. Because some of you are so righteous, Jesus couldn't have even been on your front row. Because if y'all see me with somebody that's of questionable character, y'all like, what's he hanging out with him for? Brothers and sisters, religion is hard. It'll eat your lunch because it's so stinking judgmental that everything you see, you're judging by your naked eye and you're calling into question by your naked eye. Well, my God, this is going on, so this must be happening. And you know what? You don't even know, and neither do I know, the heart of man. Many times you don't even know what's in your own heart, much less what's in somebody else's heart. Come on, somebody. We got to get this right. You can give me a box of Lucky Charms, but it can be rat poison inside, but it looks like Lucky Charms. You can look the part and think you got it all together, but you can have a tongue as long as Highway 12. Come on, somebody. And all gossip is, it's a form of pornography. All you're doing is undressing your neighbor to get a cheap thrill. And gossip is wrong according to the scripture. Gluttony is wrong according to the scripture. But you sure don't hear that preached. You know why? Because many men of God are gossipers and they're too... they're too big to tie their own shoelaces. That's why they can't preach. Because they want to tell you everything you're doing wrong, because that's easy. It's easy, brothers and sisters, to say do this and do that. Here's what I've realized, and I got a revelation of it. Now it's become a part of who I am. I got a revelation of this. Why is religion easy? Because religion says don't do. Follow this. Kingdom says, let me demonstrate this for you. Okay, I'm getting ahead of myself, but I got to tell you what's in my spirit. See, religion says, I can untie a donkey because I need that donkey for today. Right? But you can't heal on the Sabbath day. You can't unloose this woman from her infirmity because that's the Sabbath and you're not supposed to do anything on the Sabbath. Now I can go and untie my donkey, but I don't want you to unloose this woman. Jesus said, you're retarded. You're a moron. You mean you think you can go untie the donkey, but I can't unloose this woman from her infirmity? You're an idiot. Get out of here. Woman, thou art loosed. Did it on the Sabbath, and it infuriated them. Now, to you and I, we think that's so stupid. But you know what? We've got some mindsets that the world thinks is stupid. It's kind of like the Amish. The Amish says they can't have a line leading to their house called a telephone line because that connects them to the world. But they can have a cell phone. And we look at that and we say, that is so stupid. And we were taught all these years. Now you can watch whatever you want to behind closed doors. You just can't go to a certain place and watch something. Because that's of the world. And people look at us like, really? Brothers and sisters, religion is hard. How do you know that? Because here's what Jesus told them. He said, hey guys, he's talking to the scribes, the Pharisees and the lawyers. He says, hey guys, you know what? You'll take a burden and put it on your converts that you yourself can't even bear. You're preaching to your converts about doing things and you yourself, you're not even doing them. He says, you put grievous is his terminology, burdens on people that make them hard to bear. Pastors that come along and say, you can't do this and you can't do that and you can't and you can't and you can't. Maybe you can't because that's a personal conviction of yours. And guess what? If everybody else is doing it and God has convicted you of it, you better stay with what God's convicted you of because you're going to give an account for that. I know I'm in some deep stuff right here, but that's okay. But here's what Jesus says. Jesus comes back and he says this. My yoke is easy. My burden is light. Come unto me, all you who are weary and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Religion is hard. Jesus is rest. It's not hard. I'm not doing, brothers and sisters, what I do because a pastor is making me. I do what I do because I want to live according to biblical principles. I want to obey my pastor when he asks me to do something. And then I want to have my own personal convictions. But I'm not God. Oh, dear Lord. Y'all raise your right hand. Everybody, balcony and all, raise your right hand. Repeat after me. Say, I'm not God. Get that weight off your shoulder. No, don't let your hand down. I ain't done with you yet. Say, I'm not God. I can't save nobody. But I know the one who can. And I'm going to stay in my lane. He's going to stay in his. Only God can save lost humanity. So guess what? You're totally free from that. And all of this religion about control, I'm going to control you. I know pastors. I know them. I know their name. I could tell you their name. They walk into their members' home, and they have to check out certain things in their home before they allow them to become members in their church. That is not a lie. That is the truth. That's called control, ladies and gentlemen. And my Bible tells me, do not lord over God's heritage. God did not call me to be your policeman. He called me to be your pastor. I am to lead you. I am to guide you. I am to help direct you to him. Paul said, be temperate in all things. You say, Pastor, I don't really have a conviction about this. Well, then, okay, if it doesn't violate biblical principles, then roll with it. If it does, now you got to answer to God for that. When you're on this platform, there's certain things I want up here. You're going to answer to me for that because I feel like I got to answer to God. But you can still be saved. See, religion says you got to look like me, act like me, walk like me, talk like me, be just like me. If I wear a white shirt, you should wear a white shirt. Brothers and sisters, this is how crazy this has gotten. Men of God won't even wear blue shirts because it's not white, because white is the sign of purity. This is nuts. I can go to heaven preaching in blue jeans and a blue shirt. Can I keep preaching? Are y'all okay? I'm not, what are you saying, Pastor? I'm saying that religion begins to be all about control. And here's what happens. Eventually, you don't just have several Ten Commandments. You have now 613 laws. 613 laws. Plus the Ten Commandments, plus you needed to be circumcised, plus you needed to go to the temple and offer a lamb, bullock, or turtle dove for your sin. Now let me ask you a question. Go back to our text and look at John 8. Jesus is specifically speaking to the Jews in this text, okay? And he says this, he that the Son is set free is free indeed. He's preaching, brothers and sisters, to Jews. They think they're the only ones saved. Do you realize if you were a Gentile, you were considered a dog? Yes, because if you were not a Jew, you were not in the commonwealth of Israel. You did not know circumcision. You did not know the 613 ordinances. You did not take your bullock to the temple. Therefore, you are a dog. You're not saved. Now, Jesus gets up in front of all these people that think they're saved. It's specific in here, in front of the Jews, and says, guess what? He that the Son has set free is free indeed. Well, if they're saved, what do they got to be set free from? Answer me that question. If all of these Jews are saved, then what is he preaching freedom from? What's there to be free from? Huh, you guessed it. He's preaching to them, listen, I want you to know something. You're still under bondage because you're under bondage to a list of rules, 613 ordinances, circumcision. You're under the law and you think you're saved. Put that in your pipe and smoke it. You think because of what you do saves you. And he says, if you try to take what I'm teaching and put in that old wineskin, it's going to bust it. You can't even handle it. But he says, he that the Son has set free, I'm going to free you from the bondage of the laws and the ordinances and the bullocks and the turtle doves. I'm going to bring about grace and I'm going to bring about my Spirit. And that's going to set you free from the duty and the obligation of religion. Can I keep preaching? See, they thought that they had the origin of religion. In other words, they thought that salvation originated from them. And yet Christ is looking at them and saying, you're in bondage. And they are infuriated. They said, we are in bondage to no man. He said, yes, you are. You're in bondage to a mindset that you think you've got it all when you don't have it all. And I'm coming to show you what is really going to set you free. It's going to be my Spirit and my grace. Is that all right? Okay. Now, here's what the kingdom says. The kingdom now is like a vending machine. Okay. This is the difference between the kingdom and the religion. The religion says, I put my tithes in the vending machine. I wear my sleeves long. I come to church and I sing in the choir. Now, God, you owe me. And I've had people look at me and say, this is what they said. They meant well. I'm not ratting them out. They meant well. Pastor, I paid my tithes. Pastor, I've done what I know to do. I've been faithful. Pastor, I taught in Sunday school. And yet, I'm not getting my miracle. See, religion puts you under, if I do this, this, and this, then Papa's going to be pleased with my performance. Brothers and sisters, listen. Yes, there are things that you and I need to do. Sure. We need to live our life pure, holy. We need to live our life modest. We need to be temperate in all things. But at the end of the day, it's not about what you did to be saved, which is what the Jews thought. It's what he has done for you. For we are saved by grace and not that of our, lest any man should. Now, let me show you one more, and I got to be done. Romans, here's Romans 14, 17. For the kingdom of God is not eating and drinking. So if the kingdom of God is not eating and drinking, then what is it? What is righteousness? That's just a big word to say I'm in right standing with God. So the kingdom is three things here in this verse. It is righteousness. I'm in right standing with him. What makes me be in right standing with him? His righteousness that he placed on me. Right? That's his righteousness. I'm righteous because of his righteousness. In other words, he took off my filthy rags and gave me his garment of righteousness. What's the next thing that it's about? The kingdom is about peace and joy in the Holy Spirit. If I had to bring it all down, Pastor, why are you preaching like this? If I had to bring it all down and bring it into one sentence, here's why I'm preaching this. First of all, because I believe with all my heart it's truth. Second of all, because it hurts me that when I walk into a house of God, there's not more joy. and there's not more peace. And people seem today that religion is a burden to be bore. Not the joy of the Lord is my strength. And here's what I know, brothers and sisters. This may be wrong, but this is how it lives in the real world. If you don't have something attractive to people, they ain't coming. And if you don't have something to offer them that they don't feel that they already have, they're going to stay where they are. And if the church world is just as depressed, just as broke, busted, and disgusted as the world is, they say, I'll keep my 10%. Because so many people are under the burden of religion and not the joy of relationship. And that's why, really, why I'm preaching the way I'm preaching. Because first of all, I know it's truth. And second of all, because I want to know where is the joy. When Romans 14 and 7 says, the kingdom of God is not eat and drink, but it's joy, it's peace, it's righteousness in the Holy Ghost. Now let me ask y'all a question. Y'all get honest. How many of you can really say, I've got the joy of the Lord? Truly, how many of you can say that? How many of you can say, I got the peace of God in my life? How many of you can say, you know what? I know that God doesn't see me as a subject. Man, I wish I could. Boy, I wish I could preach. Said you have been, so shut up. All right, one last story and I'll be done. Reduce the whole Luke 14 and the prodigal son, reduce it down to this. When the boy had lost all that he had, was eaten with the swine, he came to himself and he said, you know what? My father has room to spare. I'll just go back and make me one of the servants. Right? And guess what the father did? He welcomed him as a son. Because the father's not looking for servants. He's looking for his sons. And religion. Can I have a chair, please? Here. This is what religion does. Well, I wasn't too good of a boy today, so I know that God just sees me as a servant. And, I didn't maybe do exactly what I should have done today. And I know pastor says this, but boy, I didn't do that today. And religion is all about what you haven't done and what you should do and how bad you were and what you should have done that you didn't do. And Jesus says this, you know what? That's heavy. My burden ain't like that. I don't look at you as a servant. I'm wanting my sons back because what I am is a king and you are my children. And I'm not looking to lord over you. I want us to govern together. So guess what? So that you're not under the dominion of sin and shame and guilt and weighted down with your past. But he that the Son has set free, I left that at the altar. I'm free. Not perfect. I'm free. Then we ought to be able to walk in here with lifted hands and joy in our heart, saying, thank God for the blood that washes white as snow. God's Bible, brothers and sisters, is not a rule book. It's a love letter. He's not trying to beat you over the head with it. He's saying, guess what? I know it takes time to become like me, but you follow me. You follow me. You become one of my sons and one of my disciples. And I'll help you to impact your world. I'll help you to change your community. I'll help you to impact your neighborhood. And we're singing, oh, I fly away. Or just help me to get out of this old troubled world. And guess what we've done? Guess what we've done? You know what we've done by that? Here's what we've done. We've given control over to the world to rule media, to rule finances, to rule the airways. Because basically what we said is Jesus is coming, so don't anybody get involved. You just hold the fort. Hey, listen, guess what? If you got to go, you can go. I ain't done. Serious. I love you, but I ain't done. So here's what we do, okay? Serious. If you need to go, I understand, okay? All you're going to go home and do is take a nap anyway. So here's what we do. We do these little private schools and put our kids in these little bubbles so the world can't get them. Then we build our little gymnasiums so they can go and play with their own. Then we do this over here and we have this little church and we say, here's our little island. Pull up all the little moats because we can't have anybody looking different from us, acting different, you know, dear God. So pull up our little moats and it becomes about membership. It's a membership. Are you a member? It's not about membership. In the kingdom, it's about citizenship. But here's what we do. We say, okay, so here's the members. Here's the members. You look like, you look good. You look good. Yeah, you okay. All right, we're all here. And we get in our little holy huddle and we sing Kumbaya and we kiss each other and we talk about how well one another looks. And then when your kid gets 18, they freak out. They go crazy. It's like the Amish when they give them a week or two to explore and the Amish kids just go ballistic. We should be teaching our kids in our homes. We should be letting them experience things in school because they're going to face a cold, cruel world. And we ought to be putting the word of God in them and say, look, listen, here's how it works. You are to change the culture of your school. You have the Spirit of Christ in you that gives you dominion over sin, dominion over the works of the devil, dominion over the occult. There should be enough joy, Holy Spirit, and peace in your life that when people look at you, they say, man, you got something that I don't have, and I want to know what it is. And then you're able to tell them, hey, I'm going to tell you about this. God's a good God, and God can free you from the chains of bondage and sin and depression and oppression. Come on, somebody, stand to your feet here and give God some praise. Everybody clap your hands this morning if you receive the word of the Lord. Okay, so I just want the word to get out. Y'all ready? I want the word to get out. I've made up in my mind, brothers and sisters, it doesn't matter to me what my pastor friends say about me. It doesn't matter to me what others say about me. Because in the end, that doesn't matter anyway. God's not going to look at my pastor friends and say, hey, based off of what you say is determine whether I let Wayne in here or not. It's going to be based off of what this word says. And brothers and sisters, if I've taught you wrong this morning, if I've been wrong, then God, please show me. Because I'll submit to him. I've run this by some pastor friends of mine, and they tell me, Wayne, you're on the right track, son. Now get ready to get blackballed. Get ready to be called all kinds of things by others. But if you're okay with that, then so be it. Y'all, I got to tell you something else. Last night I went to CR, went to Celebrate Recovery. And there's a young man, he's not here this morning, but he'll be here tonight. His name is Brock. And Brock got involved in all kinds of junk, horrible past. You name it, probably he's just about been there. I saw God do a work in Brock's life. I started helping disciple him. Last night, y'all, his little wife that had almost been engaged to another man. They've been talking now. And his little wife has seen the change that's happening in Brock. Last night, she was there along with their baby girl, along with his father, along with his grandmother. And they were all crying, speaking in a heavenly language, thanking God for his restoration power. Now, it's not over yet, and it's not all happened yet, but here's what I said to me. I said this to myself, that is so worth it. Because if we wouldn't have had Celebrate Recovery, I wouldn't have been a part of that. I wouldn't have got to see that. Listen, brothers and sisters, Jesus said, I didn't come to call the righteous to repentance. I didn't come for those who don't need me. I come in to seek and to save that which was lost. Pentecostals, listen to your pastor. I love you. I love God. I love his word. I love the church. But I'm not about religion. I'm about a relationship with Jesus Christ. Because here's what I know. If I can get you into a relationship with Jesus Christ and you truly fall in love with him, you're not trying to find out how much you can back up. You're trying to find out how close can I get to him. How can I look like him, act like him, walk like him, share the joy, the goodness of the Lord. Does that just make sense? So that's what I want. That's what God wants. Whomsoever will, let him come. Drew, you okay if I use you? Come on. Hurry. Get the lead out. Why aren't you up here already? I've held these people. Come here. Can I use you? You're not going to be offended, right? Okay. We're not going to do this, but if you were to take his shirt off, this boy's tatted all up. He came from a background that is, it'd make you weep if he told you where he'd come from. He spent time in the penitentiary. He's done all kinds of things. But here's the good news. It's not about where he came from. It's about where he's going. No, I don't think I look good with these in my ears. No, I'm probably not going to do that. But you know what? Jesus loves him. And he loves him just the way he is. Yes, he does. Yes, he does. He loves him just for the way he is. Now, here's what I know. God loves him so much that he don't want him to stay the way he is. But he loves him where he is. And he's going to keep growing him. Here's what I don't get about us. We understand that when a baby's born, it don't start running. We let it take months to learn how to walk. And no matter how many times fall down, no matter how many times that baby falls down, we don't say, well, you knothead, you little jerk, get back up. We don't do that. Why do we do that with people? Why don't we say, hey, buddy, it doesn't matter. Get up. Get up. That's all that matters. It doesn't matter how many times you've fallen. What matters is how many times you're going to get up. There's things that Sister June and Brother and Sister Baggett can share with this man. And I'm going to tell you something. There's some things he can share with y'all. Oh, it'll blow your mind. The grace of God is standing right here. Now, if you're too holy for this, okay, I don't want to menace any words. I'm going to say it very clearly and very lovingly. If you're too holy for this, then you need to go back and read your Bible. Because my Bible says he hung out with tax collectors, sinners, wine bibbers, and prostitutes. Guess what Drew wants to do one day? He wants to preach the gospel one day. Yeah. You say, well, I don't know about that. Well, let me tell you, Saul was a terrorist. He was a terrorist. He went around killing Christians. You hadn't killed any Christians, have you? Okay, good. You're good then. He hadn't killed any Christians. And yet we're like, oh, I don't know about that. It's not up to you, brothers and sisters. God said, I raise up one and I put another down. They're my sons. They're not your servants. They're not you to judge. They're not for you to get into heaven. I'm not God. I'm not God. I said, I'm not God. He's God. So what's my part? Oh, dear Lord, y'all. Here's what Jesus said. Here it is. Take all 613 ordinances. Take all the laws. Take all of what the prophet said. Check this out. Stay with me. He said, take all of it. And guess what? You can hang it on two. Love God. Love people. And if you do that, you're doing mighty good. If you know your neighbor well enough, would you take
We pray that today's message has blessed you. For more about TPC DeQuincy, go to our website, tpcdq.church. Please join us Wednesday night at 7 p.m., Sunday morning at 10 a.m., Sunday night at 6 p.m. TPC is located at 301 West 4th Street in DeQuincy. TPC, loving God and loving people.